Good morning. Because of the baptisms later on, we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated sermon. I know many of you are probably very deeply disappointed about that, but today's message will be a little bit shorter, maybe 20 minutes or so. Okay. We're going to take another look at the Sabbath day. We start off our series by looking at the fundamental truth that God is a God that finishes his work. He did that when we read in the early chapters of Genesis, and he will do that in your life as well. That the Bible says that we are God's new creation, that in Christ we are a new creation, and so the work that he started in us, he will carry it and he will finish it until the day we see him face to face. And then we took a look at how to stop and smell the roses on the Sabbath. And it's hard because there's always something to do and so little time to do them. And hopefully this week that some of you took some time to meditate on the scriptures that were provided to you last week, and that a little bit at a time that you're able to consume all that God wants you to consume through those little passages. And today we're going to look at how we can make the Sabbath a delight, okay? A delight. I'd like to ask if you could join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrected Christ, and we ask that you would breathe on us today. Lord, that you would breathe on me. Lord, that I would have your words to present to your people. And Lord, that every element of this service, Lord, will carry the breath of God in it, Lord. That you are the one that breathes life into people. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give us a mind that is open for your thoughts and your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like for you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. We're going to look at this very short passage, subtitled, The Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, I'm going to look at verse 23 to 28. Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now in this very brief passage, we find here that the disciples, they were kind of snacking along the road as they were traveling with Jesus. And so during this journey, and I suspect that it was a lengthy journey, a very physical journey, and your body is kind of moving, your body is burning up calories, so it's almost like whenever, you know, we go on a hiking trip or when you take for a long walk, your stomach can easily get hungry after a while because you're burning calories. And so here in this particular crowd, you know, the Pharisees also tagged along with Jesus and the disciples. And they were looking and watching and observing Jesus to try to catch them in some type of act, some kind of event where they stumbled. And so when they saw them pick up the heads of the grain and what they perceived to be acts of work on the Sabbath, they started to point the finger and try to highlight the hate. There's something wrong here. And so the Pharisees represent the types that are in churches today that keep
the Sabbath as one of the many rules that we have to keep as a Christian. Now, legalism, I want to make this very clear now. Legalism is when the intent becomes a rigid black and white rule that restricts people rather than frees them. And so the focus of legalism becomes the outward compliance, while the spirit behind it is really left behind or it's really lost. I remember many, many years ago, and I heard this in Nyack College. By the time I was there, they didn't do this anymore. But many, many years ago in Nyack College, that it was prohibited on Sunday to play softball or any other sport activities. And we can't even throw a frisbee around on a Sunday. You know, whether we're aware of it or not, we sometimes could have that tendency as well. You know, the Lord's Prayer, you know, was meant to give us a paradigm to follow, but it can also be legalism if you feel like you have to recite it at a certain time. Otherwise, something is just not complete. And the same goes for saying grace before you eat. All right, we do it all the time. That you are always supposed to, you know, the Bible tells us we're all supposed to be thankful all the time, not just because you have food in front of you. And so the intent was to show thankfulness. But instead, what happens? Sometimes we feel like we did something wrong. We started eating before we say grace. And God is really after a thankful heart, isn't he? Not just a few words that we get to mumble or say very quickly because we're so hungry. So here we find the same thing in verse 24. You know, the Pharisees took God's good intentions of the Sabbath, and then they made it into a legalism that is built on fear and shame. That in their understanding, you know, bad things will happen to you if you perform any type of work on Sundays. That it is the law, and there's no exceptions. And so Jesus explained to them that, you know, human beings who are in great need, as in David's case, when they are in great need, it outweighs the physical observance of the Sabbath. Because David officially broke the law because his men were about to drop dead. He had a whole army behind him that he had to take care of. And if he had a choice, he'd rather not eat the consecrated bread, I'm sure. And it was not his intent to stop having the Sabbath for the rest of his life. That was not his idea. But it was just that time that they needed the food and they took what was in front of them, the consecrated bread. And finally, Jesus makes it real clear to them, and really to all of us today, he tells them this. He says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So coming to church on Sundays, assuming today is your Sabbath, was meant for you to delight in. This is something that God has instituted for your benefit. It wasn't for God to tack on another thing that we have to do as Christians. And a purpose for the Sabbath is for man's benefit and for man's recovery and refreshment. It was never meant for man to be yet burdened by another set of rules on Sundays. That if you and I did not observe the Sabbath, you know, really, when we look into the scriptures, it's really our loss when we do not take the time to enjoy and delight in the Sabbath. That we miss opportunities to trust him. That we miss all that he would have shown you if we took the time to reflect on him. And eventually we end up, if we don't observe the Sabbath, we end up with a type of Christianity that is joyless, that is burdensome, instead of one that was, the intent was to be delighted in it. You know, scripture reading in Isaiah 58 says that if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you will find joy And then you will ride on cloud nine, I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then you will taste the meat of being a child of a loving father. And you miss out on all those things if you skip the Sabbath or you rush through the Sabbath moment. You know, going back to Genesis chapter 1, you know, God found delight in what he has created. That a Sabbath day was a delight to God, and it wasn't something that was a drag to God. It wasn't burdensome for God to stop on the seventh day. See, he chose to stop on the seventh day in order to delight in the work that's in front of him. That he had to pay attention to what was before him. That he took a good long look into all of the corners of the universe, and he looked around and he says, you know what, this is very good. This is awesome. And he could not have delighted in that day if he didn't pay attention and focus on what was in front of him. Now, there's a cookbook written by a pastor from Port Jefferson, Long Island. It's called The Supper of the Lamb. I have a picture of here. And recently, I got into lamb, you know, went to Costco's and ate lamb and never looked back, you know. So anyway, this is cookbook here. And so this pastor, local pastor from Long Island, so he writes this book. And this book is kind of a cookbook slash devotional book, all wrapped up in one, you know. It's an interesting book. And in one of the chapters, he tells you to take a whole hour, an entire hour, 60 minutes, to prepare an onion, all right? And so, you know, he describes how this hour can take several stages, all right? Don't rush this, you know? And you start off by getting to know your onion, all right? And you need to be introduced to it like you were introduced to someone new you never met before. So before you even start preparing it, you have to examine the shape of it, all right? Not every onion has the same shape, believe it or not. And you take notice that it has perhaps several dents in it, and then there's a blemish, and every dent, every flaw that onion has a story behind it, you know? How did it get that? When did it get that? And then you proceed on to remove the skin. And of course, if you're not careful, you will cry. And you are instructed to appreciate that with each ring of growth, there is a thin skin or a thin membrane that separates each layer. As you can tell, you know, if you do this properly, you know, an hour might not be enough time. So the point here is to force yourself to pay attention to something. And paying attention is to focus your thoughts and your mind on something specific at a particular point or some object. So before you start, you know, ripping through an ordinary onion because you're hungry, you want to eat some onion rings, or maybe because your eyes, you worry about your eyes tearing up, so you just chop it up. Well, before you do all that, the book says, you know, pay attention to the shape, to the color, to the odor, the texture, and even all the blemishes and the possible stories behind the blemishes. And that God has a special purpose for that onion. And there's a lot to appreciate within that simple onion. And since our lives are more important than onion, there is so much more we can pay attention to that we can truly delight God in the Sabbath. I want to suggest to you three particular areas, and I left a couple of fill-in-the-blanks in the bulletin. Three areas that you may want to pay attention to during your Sabbath time. The first one is paying attention to creation. Now, in 2006, there was a movie called Cars. Many of you watch Cars, right? How many of you watch Cars? How many have the DVD? Good, can I borrow that? Yes. And the movie Cars has many lessons in life. You know, it's all laced in there. It's embedded into the plot. And one of them, you know, is to slow down. Slow down in order to appreciate the natural surroundings that we have. And part of the message of the movie was about this new interstate highway that was being built so that it takes travelers from point A to point B very quickly. And so it bypassed a lot of the scenic beauty. And of course, it bypassed this beautiful town with beautiful town people called Radiator Springs. And there's one particular scene, the star of the movie, which is in the red, you know, Lightning McQueen. He is always in a rush because of some championship race that's coming up. So everything that he did, everything that he said, and how he carried himself and how he behaved was really all for himself and the glory of a speedster, all right? He's a racing car. That's what he does. And finally, not until a female car showed him the beauty of driving around the waterfalls and to fully appreciate the vast beauty of the Midwest. He didn't realize all that. He was just bypassing all that. And for you and I, you know, living in a metropolitan area like New York City, we are always on the go, 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 aren't we? Because everywhere we look, everybody else is going, going, going. There's a lot of movement here. And we often neglect the power of God in the natural world that we're surrounded with. And I thank God that there's parks, you know, that the city planners, that for X amount of square footage, there's going to have X amount of parks. Because if we didn't have that, and not every city in the world has that, but if we didn't have parks, everything around us, think about the concrete, everything that we touch, that we see, it's all man-made. And so often we would neglect the power of God in the natural world that we're surrounded with. And Romans 1 tells us that God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature is clearly seen in creation. You know, the famous English poet William Blake once wrote this poem called To See a World. And the first two lines of this poem goes like this. To see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower. You know, everything you see, touch, feel in God's creation, it points back to him, to the Creator. And you can appreciate God's thoughts given to a simple onion. You can see God's attention to detail whenever you snorkel or scuba dive underwater. You're astounded by the fact that there are no 2 days exactly alike ever since time began. No 2 days have the exact same temperature, wind chill, UV index, pollen count, cloud coverage, and so on and so forth. No 2 days are exactly the same. And that is amazing when you think about it, the sustainable creativity that ends when he says it ends. So maybe on your Sabbath, you can, I don't know, pick up a corn from your local wall bounds and spend a few hours with it. Who knows? Secondly, pay attention to people. You know, going back to the movie Cars, for Lightning McQueen, he never appreciated the people that were around him. Or in his case, he never appreciated the cars that were around him. So relationships for him is really to serve. People would be there to serve him, to get from point A to point B. And only when he was forced to pay attention to the town people, then he appreciated their friendship. And many of us are like that, but perhaps in different ways. Some of us are more obvious, some of us are perhaps more subtle. But people, you know, are there to somehow directly or indirectly benefit me. You know, we're all in the same boat when it comes to this. I know that I'm personally very much like that for the longest time. So the Sabbath can be a time where we pay attention to the people around us. And then you might be thinking, you know, well, Pastor, you know, sometimes stress comes from people. I don't know if I want to pay attention so much to people, especially the stressful people. Well, you know, this is the Sabbath. Perhaps on the Sabbath, you can take a break from stressful people, all right? You need time to recover on the Sabbath. So I may suggest that on your Sabbath, maybe just focus on people that build you up, all right? You know, so they could drop by their house with no agenda. Maybe take a walk in the park with them. Or maybe just to browse at the department store, Walbounds or Target, without a shopping list. Okay, have a deeper appreciation for those that genuinely love and care for you. You know, did you know that human beings, when we're talking about people, human beings are the only image of God that is found in creation. Everything else that's in this created order does not reflect God's image, except for other people. So if you spend a whole hour with the onion, it may take you a lifetime to really get to know and appreciate somebody. Because people are complicated, for better and for worse. People are dynamic, and sometimes they could be mysterious at times. You know, I've been married for almost 14 years, and 14 of those were happy ones. I've dated Cindy for about 5 years. So that means, you know, if you're doing your math, you know, I first knew her when she was 16 years old in high school. And after all these years, I feel like I only know a small fraction of who she really is. Because she's not the same person as that person that I met when she was 16. I mean, do you get what I'm saying here? You know, people never stay the same. So by the time you think you know somebody, they have evolved already as a person. That they are different when they're teenagers. And then when they're 30, looking back at the 20s, they're different. So paying attention to people is focusing on the only image of God that God has left for us in this creation. Lastly, pay attention to his word. His word. You know, last week we tried to meditate on his word, one piece at a time. I had described it like a piece of steak on Peter Luger's, you know, a little bit at a time. Now, another way is by praying through it, by taking the scriptures and perhaps a digestible portion of it and to pray through it by asking God to make what you read in front of you to be true in your life. So it's a little bit more, taking another step deeper than, you know, Lord, just help me understand this so that, you know, I could teach other people, so that I could do Bible study. It's going beyond that. It's asking God, you know, I read in this passage here, and I want this to happen in my life. So as you read the perfection of the biblical ideals, and then we ask God to make this as part of the transformation work that he does in our lives. You know, one of the personal revivals in my life happened during freshman year when I was in Stony Brook. And I remember this one particular quiet time in my devotional time. As I was reading through the Psalms, you know, Psalms is very popular to do your quiet time. As I read through this, I realized that my Christianity is not like what I'm reading. I remember thinking, you know, my devotional life at that point in time was no way near what I read as David's devotional life. That as David writes all these beautiful psalms, I know that my walk with the Lord was not like that, not even close. That the emotions that he had with God, that the dialogue that he had with God was something that was tremendous, and I knew I didn't have it. And I envied the deepness of his relationship with the Lord. And I realized, you know, David had the Old Testament, but I have Jesus. And there's no way that this, what I read in the scriptures, can't be for me too as well. So line by line, I took that particular Psalms. Line by line, I asked God to make that happened in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know I couldn't make myself do this. I couldn't achieve it by myself. But I'm going to ask the Lord, line by line, make this happen here. So on your Sabbath, you may want to pray through a particular passage of your choosing. You can use, for example, the Beatitudes is a good one, line by line. You can look at the Beatitudes, you know, and say, Lord, help me to be like this. This is so lofty. This is so Christ-like. And I know I fall short. Lord, help me, make me, create in me to be a person just like that. Or you can take the Ten Commandments, line by line. You know, Lord, make me live truthfully and speak truthfully to those around me. Lord, help me to honor my parents. Lord, you know, make me to have a satisfied and a heart that's full of contentment, and so on and so forth. You see, there is no reason why God would give you and I the Bible if we cannot live it, if it's not for us to absorb it and take it and experience it. Now, this is not a secret formula I'm presenting to you this morning. It's not a seven steps to nowhere. This is asking from God what God wants you to have anyway. That the Father in heaven would be so delighted to have his child, you know, to ask from him what he wants to give you anyway. That there is a power in doing that with a sincere heart that is looking to go deeper into Christ. So the Sabbath, in a quick nutshell, is to be delighted, because that's how God approached his Sabbath. And we are his children, and we want to do it likewise. It is there for you to enjoy, and not another burdensome task for the Christian life. It is for yours to recover, to focus and pay attention to the things around you. Let me close in a word, and Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, I ask, Lord, that your Spirit will continue to make known to us some of the things that were exposed to us in your truth. Father, I ask that you would do whatever it takes to this church, to us as individuals, so that, Lord, we would have a deeper communion with you. And Lord, if it takes, Lord, for you to do something in our circumstance, to slow us down, Lord, we ask that you would do so, because we trust, Lord, that you are a Heavenly Father, and Lord, no good thing will you withhold from us, from those that love you. So Lord Jesus, I ask that you would teach us, bring us to become a church that understands and appreciates your Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.